Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Layoff, the podcast. This is episode 346 called Lacey Nicole. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, BELIBABY, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. So I want to start by inviting everybody who's listening, who's going through any sort of fertility journey or building their family through ART to check out Fertility Rally. It's the group I wish I had when I was going through all my shit. It is the worst club with the best members. We have virtual support groups. We have IRL events. We have virtual events. We have a website full of content and videos. We do Fertility Rally live every year, which is our all day event with speakers and giveaways. We have amazing brand partners that you can get discounts on. It's just the best. So I would love for you to check it out. If you want to come to one of our support groups before you commit, just DM me at InfertileLife Stories or at Fertility Rally on Instagram, and you are welcome to check out a group. Also, I've had such a great time creating these work of art books, these children's books about IVF and ART. The first one, Work of Art, is my family's story. The second one, Beautiful Bird, is about my best friend Helen and how her family was created. And the third one is at the printer, and I'll tell you guys more about that really, really soon. I will say it's a board book, so it's different than the other two books. Anyway, I'm self-published, so you can check them out at infertileafgroup.com. And thank you so much to everybody who has supported the books, who's purchased them as gifts or purchased them for themselves. But spread the word. If you have anybody who wants to learn more about families being created this way or has children who came into the world via IVF or IUI or donor conception or any of the things, please check out Work of Art. It's at infertileafgroup.com. Okay, so my guest today, guys, is Lacey Nicole. She has been through so much, and she's going to talk about endo and adenomyosis and fibroids and polyps and hormone therapy and anxiety and the advocacy work she's doing, not only in the fertility community in general, but in the endometriosis community in particular. She is a huge voice in this community, and she's so sweet and so strong. So without further ado, this is Lacey's infertility story. Hi, Lacey. Jesse. Thank you so much for doing this. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Of course. So let's start with a question I always love to ask, which is, have you always wanted to have kids?
I always wanted to be a mother. Like in elementary, when they do the, what do you want to be when you grow up? I used to write a mom. I want to be a mom with kids. I wanted like 100 babies. Now I see how difficult it is. So I've, you know, restructured how many, but that was always the dream.
Right. So let's fast forward a little bit. What did you know about fertility and like your own body when you were growing up?
Well, it's so wild. Now, I was telling you prior, I'm a listener of you and you ask a lot of your guests the same question. And it's so funny to me because truly, which sounds so naive, I did not know anything about fertility. I didn't know you ovulate to get pregnant. I didn't know a luteal phase. I didn't know how our periods work and how our hormones sync up. I just recall being young in sex ed in like sixth grade and the dangers of getting an STD or pregnant, but I don't ever recall any literature behind when you do want to get pregnant.
Right. Like how it actually does work.
Yeah. I mean, you watch the little 80s film of the sperm and the egg, but it's, I mean, to a kid, you don't know what's really going on.
Exactly. It's obviously so much more complicated than that. So let's talk about what happened, you know, again, fast forwarding a whole bunch, when you started to, you know, decided to build your family and you started to try, what happened for you?
So I had a really unique experience where I didn't learn I was infertile when I was trying to have a family. And it's something that really enraged me to my core and it still does, which is why I became, you know, an advocate and a public speaker for the endo community and, you know, reproductive disease. I kind of coincide with autoimmune disease as well, but mm-hmm. I had issues with my health for years, and mm-hmm. it came on suddenly. But once I was unwell, it's like, I really relate to that community because they call it like spoonies. I could not find answers and it was all over body unwell. So I obviously off the bat, I didn't correlate it to a painful period or a reproductive disease, but I was in and out of ER rooms. I was like collapsing and fainting on floors. They took out my appendix wrongfully because I was in so much pain. They were like, let's just try this.
Oh my God. How old were you when that happened?
It all started around 25.
Okay.
25, 26. I think in the span of 3 months, I had 28 ER visits.
Oh my God.
It was the same thing. I had gone through, you know, a really bad accident and I kind of heard the same thing from almost every ER tech, which I don't like to discredit physicians as a whole, but a lot of times women, specifically young females, are gaslit by their provider. And I heard a majority of the time, you know, this is just anxiety disorder. This is just PTSD. This is just, you know, you need to get on an antidepressant. And I had painful periods, which, you know, off the bat, I wasn't just I just assumed it was normal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of learn you're in pain, but now with the literature and the knowledge I have, you're not supposed to have painful periods that debilitate you.
Exactly.
And take you out. So I was in and out of hospitals, in and out of meeting with physicians. I was meeting with, you know, rheumatologists, with autoimmune specialists, and I was like, I'm going crazy. I would gain and lose rapid amounts of weight. And my hemoglobin has always been low. We're there again now because my endo is back, unfortunately, but it was always, you know, a 7, 8, 9. And that's, you know, below 7 is death. And
oh
they were
God.
Like, nobody ever correlated it to my period. And I would go mm-hmm. to my OB who I'd seen for 10 years. So, you know, you assume they're doing the best they can for you. And I started to say, you know, I'm on Google. I think I have endometriosis. I think I have adenomyosis. And she was like, no, you know, we'll just put you on a birth control. No, you know, I don't think so because you don't have this symptom. And so by the time I actually learned to demand medical care because you don't think you have to really become your own advocate.
Yes,
you do.
You have to sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. We went in for an exploratory surgery because that's kind of the way they diagnosed. And I ended up having stage 4 endo and it had taken over my ovary where it was cutting off my circulation. And that's why I was hunched over, you know, vomiting, because what would happen is it would squeeze off my circulation. I would lose all blood flow for 3 to 5 minutes. It was in my lungs, which is why I would have these crazy things where I was losing my voice and coughing.
Oh my
and
God.
It had taken over. I had scar tissue all over. And upon having this surgery, I was so defeated because they were like, well, now you can never have kids.
You know, oh my gosh. Someone said that to you?
my endosurgeon, my initial surgeon, first of many.
Long. Wow.
And I remember I was engaged when I had the surgery. So having kids wasn't, you know, at the forefront. It was getting married and ultimately, but I remember he handed me a pamphlet on surrogacy and he was like, you know, with your one good ovary, we should really look into freezing your eggs. They'll do better if they're fertilized and getting a surrogate. And I was like, whoa, 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 you know? And I was
so much information being thrown at you at once.
Yeah. And at this point, it was 6 years of me begging. I was 31 at this point, or 30. So 5 years of me begging, which is actually on the lower end of even a diagnosis time. The average diagnosis time is 10 years for a woman with endo. And I always use the word privilege, which isn't, you know, to be holier than now, but I had the privilege of demanding physicians and paying for physicians. A lot of women don't. And if you're 100%. Statistically a woman of color, a woman in a lower income community, the diagnosis time is 10 to 20 years and women pass away from this. So I channeled all my anger into advocacy.
And I love that.
My villain origin story with my endo.
Your villain origin story. I like that. Okay. So much to talk about there. So I know that you had mentioned your accident. Can you tell me a little bit more about that before we get into all the other medical stuff?
Yeah. So when I was young, I was a victim of a kidnapping.
Oh my God.
But I had, again, the tools and the resources to try and, you know, pull myself out of this. But something that always stuck with me is how physically unwell my body became after, even, you know, after tons of mental health work. And just with the statistics surrounding, you know, being a victim of anything, being a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse or any type of, which is 1 in 3 women. I'm a statistics person. Sorry.
I love that.
It ups your chance of being diagnosed with a reproductive disease now, which is now proven in NIH. This is like a case study that's been proven true. So I know a lot of women sometimes get mad at me when I'm like, it is related to trauma, but it's clinically proven to have a correlation to you having, you know, an autoimmune issue, MS, lupus, endo, adeno. Obviously genetics, hormonal, environmental play a role as well. But I do think going through a lot of trauma did impact me. Obviously we're not one size fits all.
Right. How old were you when that happened?
I was in my 20s.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. So once you kind of started to uncover stage 4 endo, what was the treatment plan? I know they had said surrogacy, but like, what about making you feel better? Like family building aside.
The treatment plan I think is barbaric and diabolical. It's wildly underfunded. If you look into, cause I'm type A Virgo. So I assume everyone is like me, but I'm researching like, where does the money go? Where does the funding go? Wildly underfunded. But for me personally, it was excision surgery. And then they wanted to put me on a Lupron, which is a drug they give to chemically castrate sex offenders. And it puts you into something called chemical menopause. So I went into menopause at a young age and I had the sweats, the like diabolical thoughts. And then after, this was still kind of a timeline where I really trusted my physician. You know, I was kind of like, he went to school for this. I'm just going to take whatever they say. But Lupron was not for me. I know, again, we're not one size fits all. These side effects were worse than the endo, at least for me.
What about some of the other surgeries and things that they did for you at that point? And hormone therapy too, right?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I was very like, okay, we have to freeze my eggs, right? I was like all or nothing. Like I want babies. Like this can't be my final, you know, draw. And every time we went in initially, I was not making follicles. So that was a whole nother issue to dive into. Like, why am I not making follicles? Why am I not ovulating? And I do believe, again, this is just my experience. I do believe it was just years of mismanagement on the physician's end, autoimmune diseases that had coincided that I didn't know about, you know, until I really dove in, hormonal issues that I didn't know about until I dove in, which again, it's like a full-time job and it's very isolating. So I think that's also why I lean so into this community, because when you're so isolated, you don't want to complain to everyone when that's like the quiet reality you're living, but years of work on getting to the why, you know, everything was wrong on my labs and I look seemingly healthy. So it's,
oh my gosh.
It's a very big play on your mind and your mental health, at least for me, because I look well, right? And I remember I posted on Instagram finally, because I was like, I need support. And it's my stomach all cut open, but like I make up on my face and I'm like, I'm really suffering. Like if anyone has advice, which opens up the other can of worms of like, do you want attention? Are you just a victim? But it's like, it's so isolating to not feel like your body is doing what it's, you know, supposed to unquote do. As
100%. I can completely relate to that. All the infertility stuff that I went through too. And, you know, you bouncing around between doctors and specialists and trying to figure out what was going on with you, like that really takes an emotional toll as well and is just like a huge mind fuck. So how did you deal with that piece of it?
Honestly, I wouldn't say I was like mentally astute during that time. I was really suffering. I had a lot of, you know, anxiety, shame, anger, like what was me? And I think, at least growing up now, I think we've normalized so many discussions surrounding mental health, especially since COVID. But I think it was always this shame correlated to suffering. And we're kind of taught as women not to suffer or share that we're suffering. So even in sharing it, I would get these overwhelming moments of shame. Like everyone thinks I'm crazy. Everyone thinks I'm this victim, you know?
Yes.
But once you share, you really learn how prevalent it is with women. You know, 10% of women have endo. 10% of women go through adenomyosis or PCOS. So when we add all these statistics, it's a lot of women. And like having that community really helped me kind of pull myself out of it.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about that more. So once you came out, you know, on socials and said, you know, you're struggling, you need help, leaning on people, asking for advice and things, tell me how that changed, you know, the course and like what that did for you mentally too. Like, I know that community is obviously so important.
I think with something like any invisible illness, right? Because nobody knows if you're infertile unless you're, you know, telling people. It's such a blessing to have any type of community, albeit strangers. Like for me, strangers were my heroes during that time. Of course, my friends were empathetic and stuff, but I met the endo community and I got on board with speaking at endo events and summits. And one of the girls there actually, who suffered for years, got me into a really renowned specialist in LA that I could not get into on my own.
Okay.
And that was kind of the tipping point of really finding answers in a thoughtful way. You know, it was Dr. Orbach. She's in LA, New York. And she really advocated for me. And she was like, you should have been in pelvic floor physical therapy. You should have been in, you know, a psychiatrist type of setting talking about, you should have done this. You shouldn't. And it really set me up for success. But again, that was only because I had this community.
Right. I think that, you know, it does make such a difference, especially when you get to finally feel validated. And after so many years of thinking like, am I crazy? Like, why is no one believing me? And also having, like you said, that shame about your body not doing what it's like, quote unquote, supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's really hard to deal with. So can we talk a little bit more specifically about the endo and your advocacy work and all that? Tell me again, you know, why that's so important to you and what are the kinds of things that you want people to know, maybe even somebody who has endo and is listening right now, things you've learned about it and like navigating the endo journey.
I think for me, I always say for me, because I don't want to make blanket statements about others' health.
I get it. Yeah.
Really?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be. or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult, but I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Like, I don't know if this is just a me thing, but I really channeled initially into shame, pain, like depression.
Yeah.
And finding this community and finding the resources and literature and the why, I almost became empowered into anger because you have to channel it somewhere. You can't have right. these things stew inside of you. And I became angry and I, you know, would research late at night, like I can't sleep, this funding and these women and their stories and women with wrongful deaths. And, you know, a lot of the times when I tell these stories, even it sounds like I'm shaming all physicians, which I'm not, I don't ever mm-hmm. want to be misconstrued, but a lot of physicians are not taught in school. So it's a system how to properly evaluate, educate, and advocate for women with reproductive disease. And mm-hmm. it's such a disservice to us as a society, even mm-hmm. menopause, which I won't go into because I know we don't have the time, but the things that happen to our bodies as women, which we're taught are normal, and we're taught if you vocalize it, you know, you're going to be labeled anxious. So you're going to be like, I read my chart. It says anxiety disorder, anxious. It says the amount of visits, and having the resources and the literature to validate yourself before any physician's going to is imperative. Mm-hmm. And I think we shouldn't have to, you know, we shouldn't have to be researching or chat GPT or whatever.
Right.
How to fight in a physician's office, but it really empowered me to want to speak up for others because I had to raise hell after handfuls and handfuls and thousands of dollars and ER visits. And, you know, you start to go a little crazy. And I don't want anyone else to go through that journey. I don't want anyone else to feel that isolation. And so I feel like by using our voice as women, we can change that system. And I'm not saying it's all bad. Things aren't all good or all bad. But it is wildly, wildly corrupt when it comes to women's reproductive health. And as a leading country, I know the word first world isn't supposed to be used, but we are a first world country and our women's reproductive health is barbaric in a lot of senses. So I really want to move the needle on changing that. And I think we all can with our voice if we're like a little angry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think that so many of us in this community have been fueled by personal stories and things that we've gone through, and also the anger and like, why doesn't this exist yet? Or what can I do to change it? So I totally feel you on that as well. So let's talk about your story. You know, going back to specifics, they mentioned surrogacy. What happened next for you in your family building stuff?
Ugh, nightmare.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
No, but it's, you know, it's all our journey. And I immediately met with the IVF specialist. I started interviewing them. I wanted to like find the right person for me. I didn't have follicles when we were trying to do IVF. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And so each time we went in, it was just a failed experience. I can't remember the name of the drugs now. I apologize.
But it's okay.
We were trying to change me to make follicles into ovulate. And we were doing, it was like every 2 weeks we were doing a hysteroscopies and mm-hmm. all these, you know, crazy procedures. And then after like, I think the 8th round of us trying, I gave up and then I suffered a miscarriage naturally. Oh. So when I had the miscarriage, I was actually really grateful. I mean, obviously I was upset, but I was like, my body can do this. This means I'm ovulating. This means I'm making follicles. And this was after, you know, a break in the IVF process.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, you know, just crazy, crazy voodoo things for, you know, getting my hormones in check, getting my health in check. And I ended up conceiving naturally and having my baby girl. I had an array of issues during my pregnancy, and unfortunately I cannot carry again, but I ended up conceiving naturally after what, 5 years of.
Okay. So you said you had gone through several rounds of IVF, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think, were they ever able to explain, you know, what happened? Why the tides had turned for you? I know there's sometimes it's just we don't know, you know, like obviously this is not an exact science, but what did they tell you?
He said it was a miracle. And I said twice. So, I mean, I have my theories, but I'm not a physician. I obviously don't have my medical license, but That part frustrates me still because I never got the answers and the why, and I'm a very like why person. And I sent a lot of people to my initial IVF doctor. I posted the whole thing, right? I'm posting this mm-hmm. to my community. And a few of them ended up having really negative experiences at the time. I was seeing somebody in Orange County. I won't, name names, but mm-hmm. one of them had infertility, had a miscarriage, another miscarriage. Then they finally tested her for this bacteria that she ended up having. And it was something as simple as a blood test. And another one of them ended up, she just told me this yesterday, I won't name names, but she ended up having a fibroid and now she'll stop that. And it wasn't taking, and it was an initial thing they could have scanned for. So little things like that enraged me because it could always be that one little mm-hmm. piece that they should be looking for. And now I'm going through the process again of freezing my eggs with a new physician who I absolutely adore, Dr. Arnold in Beverly Hills. So I'll say his name, but we're taking a completely different approach, which I'm really grateful for.
Okay.
This time around, I have somebody really advocating for me in my position. I have, somebody really fighting for the why and getting all of these things pacified before we even are freezing my eggs. I have a cyst on my right ovary. So he wants to go in and remove it prior to, and my hemoglobin is astoundingly low again. So he's been making me do, transfusions and work to get that up before. So I don't go too mentally low and physically low, which is really nice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels good when you have a medical team that believes you and that goes to bat for you and,
He very 100%. Much validates, when I'm like, I can't right. get out of bed. And he's very much so texting me as, not only a physician, but a confidant, this is normal. You're not different than anyone else. You should be feeling this first. You start to feel that isolation again, because it's still hard,
Yeah.
Even with all the work in the world, you can go back to those moments. And I do when I feel terrible.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about getting pregnant and your daughter, right, is three now?
She is three.
Okay. So what did it feel like after all the stuff that you'd gone through, all the IVF cycles and the meds and the surgeries and all that stuff? You had a pregnancy. You said the pregnancy was not necessarily easy, but going forward.
It wasn't easy, but I was listening to your story and I know you had secondary infertility.
Correct.
I almost think is worse. I don't know, it's not the trauma Olympics, but
right.
Because a lot of my friends have had secondary and a lot of people are like, well, you have your one, you should be grateful. And I'm like, it's almost worse because you don't understand why things went amiss. Right. But for me, I think it was almost worse. And I want to lie and be like, oh, I was so grateful and elated, but I was so, it triggered this like OCD anxiety of, okay, now I have this thing, what's going to go wrong, right? Because things
absolutely
have gone wrong.
100%. Yeah.
With the Doppler.
Totally. I think that's part of this, so much about this sucks, when you're going through some sort of infertility struggles, but when you do, pregnancy after infertility or loss is, you just can't relax. And, I think that some people don't understand that. People who've been through it certainly do, but just the always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like you said, having the Doppler, trying to find the heartbeat, trying to get extra scans.
I did not relax.
No, I know.
A way of relax. Even I kept giving myself these little hurdles too, right? I was like, okay, if I make it to 3 months, if I make it to 4 months, if I make mm-hmm. it, and I didn't want to have a baby shower because I was like, so I wanted to have it very late, but then I was high risk. So they wanted to induce me early. And I was like, at the baby shower, even I was panicked. Like, what if now I had a baby shower and something,
totally,
giving yourself these mental hula hoops or whatever. I don't know.
Yes.
Jump over. And I kept reaching them and I was like, okay, now I have to set a new one, right?
All right. So
for me, it was very nerve wracking.
100%. Did you feel better once she was finally born? Or then is it like a whole nother host of things to be worried about?
I think I felt better when she was born. I surprised, and people kept telling me, you're going to get postpartum because you're so anxious. Luckily, once she was born, I finally felt that like, okay, I can take a deep breath. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But of course I had a little bit of postpartum OCD, which I think I still have, but
What did that look like for you? The postpartum OCD?
Just like, it was big with sleep. Cause I was like, if I fall asleep, something could happen.
Oh, wow.
Like the shoe's going to drop. So it was like, I was not sleeping, but I finally hired a night nurse because I was like, okay, I have to also exist.
Right.
But I was very much so like, I made her wear the owlet, the little mm-hmm. her. I would sleep in her room because there was a bed in her nursery at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, very much so like the sleeping thing and, you know, like those catastrophic thoughts of what if something goes wrong now that she's here. But I think I did a lot of, you know, therapy and work during that time to combat it.
Mm-hmm. And then tell me a little bit more about the egg freezing journey that you're on right now. And I'm so glad that you're in the hands of a doctor, like we said, that's, you know, really a teammate and going to bat for you. You said that it was a different, you know, kind of protocol or different approach. Can we talk a little bit more about the specifics of what you're doing?
It's like a 180. This is one of the positive things I want to, you know, tell to everyone, because you go in these IVF center, you know, and you're kind of, I mean, I don't, again, know your experience, so I don't know, but you're kind of like a number, right? And you're paying all this money for this thing and it's so isolating, but you're grateful. And then you go to a new doctor who's really there for you. And it's like, you can see the light, right? It's like you're in a bad relationship and you don't even know until you're in a new relationship.
Totally. Yes.
And going in with Dr. Arnold is like, oh my gosh, I can see the light. It's someone who's ordering more tests, who's doing the deep dive, who's like, but why is this number so low? Like, I'm doing a colonoscopy next week, because he's like, we stopped my period with the transexemic acid. I don't know if you ever did that.
Okay. No.
Because my hemoglobin is so low and my iron, and it's still low. So he's like, well, let's do a little more testing prior to, you know, cutting you open and taking out your ovary. We have to remove my ovary. And he really cares. Like, he'll text me a specialist or an article. And that alone, somebody holding your hand and caring,
right,
is, you can take that deep breath, right? So we're freezing my eggs, I believe, in the next month or two. And he is very adamant on me not caring and using a surrogate. So that will be a whole plethora of things when the time comes.
Okay. So we might have to do a part two as your journey continues, if you're up for it.
I think having somebody who's advocating for you and fighting for you and sending it to you is that blessing, because we have so much on our plates already and that worry already. And why is our body not doing things? So I think when somebody cares to dive deeper, it's, at least for me, it's like a godsend.
Absolutely. What's your goal for family building, like your ultimate, you know, family goals?
For me, it's just a security now. I wish so many women had resources to the security of your fertility journey. And even that was not something I was taught at a young age. You know, egg quality, we could go into all that for hours, but
right,
just security. It's just the security of having, you know, the option even.
Yes.
I did not realize what a hard scope it is when you don't have that option and how heartbreaking it is. So that's really kind of my only goal right now, is to get all of my numbers stable again, because my endo returned, I guess, in the last year. And it's something we're kind of taught in the endo community that pregnancy and birth can cure endo, but it did not for me, which sucks, because for a while I was like, it's gone. I
feel. Oh my God. Yes. So are you in pain?
Agony, but I'm trying to be.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
And I do all of the little, you know, holistic things now, obviously, but it came back, I want to say 6 months ago. I mean, that's when we could see it on the Doppler.
I'd love to end on, you know, kind of another note of talking to, you know, again, people who might be listening who are new to this community or kind of in the thick of it. What do you know now that you didn't know when you were first starting your fertility journey?
Oh my gosh, everything. How the reproductive system even works. I think now what I know is, like, you have the option to empower yourself and stay emotionally regulated, and it doesn't have to reach that tipping point of where shame and fear and anxiety has overrun you. And, you know, you walk in the physician's office and you feel that rage almost to just be heard. And that shouldn't be the rule. That should be the exception, way off for, you know, the one in a million. And I think so many women I meet in the community of reproductive disease and infertility have that pent up rage. And, you know, they're like, I go in crying and screaming. And I think knowledge is power. And if you can take that time and remain focused on the goal, which I know is hard when you're struggling with your body, your health, your mindset, but focus on the goal, write out your list of goals, you know, for any doctor appointment, write out your list of symptoms, write out your list, because that's what I started doing. I would walk around with like this giant notebook. Actually, they called me notebook girl at one of my IVF.
I love that.
It did help me, because when you are in emotional overload, you won't be seen or heard in the way you want. And you'll probably be invalidated, not always. And so when you can validate yourself and go in with, you know, literature, which is infuriating that you have to kind of advocate in that way. But
right.
I think that's one of the huge blessings I wish I initially had, which was a giant binder and notebook. But really, when you know the literature, when you can map it out and you can say it in a thoughtful way, in an articulate way, I think it helps your case astoundingly. And I think when you can connect with other women, you know, if you are battling endo, PCOS, adenomyosis, veering away from that shame or blame and connecting with your own community, you can make your own community on Reddit or TikTok, or, you know, now we have that access to so many people. I think it's a huge blessing. I think it's something I initially leaned into much deeper, but I'm grateful I ultimately did, because there are so many women that, like me, want to use their pain to help someone else not go through it, and use their pain to help someone else with their purpose. And, you know, they don't want you to feel the way, like, I don't want anyone to feel the way I did in there. And I want everyone to feel validated. And I think it's from community.
Thank you again for listening. And thank you to Lacey Nicole for sharing her story. Guys, Fertility Rally is available for you if you would like a safe place to land. DM me if you want to check out one of our groups. You can DM me at Fertility Rally or at InfertileAF Stories. And we have groups every Wednesday night that Blair and I host. We have groups on Sunday. We have groups throughout the week at other times with other hosts. So depending on your schedule, hopefully there's something for you. But we also do events virtually, IRL. We have a website full of content, and it's the place I wish I had, as I said in the intro. So check us out, Fertility Rally. Our website's fertilityrally.com, and reach out if you have any questions at all. And finally, just wanted to talk about my books one more time in case you guys are interested. It's the Work of Art series. They're children's books about families being built through IVF and assisted reproductive technology. And the third book is being printed right now. I can't wait for you guys to see it. But Work of Art and Beautiful Bird are now available on my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. So spread the word. Word of mouth means everything to me. If there's a family you know that might be interested, you know, let them know. Send them to my website. Again, it's infertileafgroup.com. And thank you so much to everybody who supported the book so far. There's going to be more in the series. I have like three more planned already, and I can't wait to get them all in your hands. So thank you for listening. Thanks again to Lacey, and I will talk to you guys next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Life is unpredictable. But how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.